Welcome to season 3 of the Fit Farming Food Mom podcast. I am Connie Nightingale, a former bodybuilder, certified personal trainer and nutritionist with an extreme passion for functional health and fitness. There is a huge problem these days with the standard health narrative. The current allopathic medicine, fitness theories, and nutrition guidelines are completely missing the mark. Through this podcast, I have been able to get uncensored, unfiltered knowledge out to the masses to help anyone. No matter if you're an average Joe or an elite athlete, I want to provide you with valuable knowledge to help you achieve your health and fitness goals. Remember, the best way to support this podcast is leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes and sharing with your friends and family or tagging me in your stories or posts on social media. Let's get this health movement out to others. Thank you so much again for joining me. Now let's get to the show. Hey friends, I hope you are doing well going into this new year and that the first couple weeks have treated you right. We are almost halfway through the first month of the year, which is crazy to me. Time flies when you're having fun, I guess. So I have definitely been busy, having a great time. Everything is going wonderfully, so can't complain. Maybe that's why the time is just flying by. But anyway, today I'm super excited because I have my friend Frank Yosa coming on the podcast. If you don't know him from a previous podcast, he is the founder of Ketone Aid, which has ketone esters. I've used them for my bike races and lots of my athletic endeavors. They are great for not only people that are doing keto, but also all athletes. So don't get stuck in this mindset thinking that you can't do this if you're just a regular person. It has nothing to do with being in ketosis or being ketogenic or the way you eat at all, really. They are just great for athletic performance. They're great for sleep, recovery, mental clarity. They have a lot of benefits. So if you're interested in that and you are new to this podcast, go look for my previous podcast with Frank and take a look at everything that he has to offer as far as what his ketones can do for you, because they are amazing. They are better than most that are on the market. They are pure, and there's a lot of stuff out there that is not. And so actually just a salt, and we'll kind of dive into that a little bit today. But today we're not necessarily talking about ketone esters. Today we are talking about something new that he has released to the market, which is called R13. It is actually a ketogenic alcohol. So it's a little different, though, because it doesn't have ethanol in it. And so because of that, you don't get a lot of the ill effects that you would get if you were to be drinking regular wine or beer or ciders or hard alcohols. So big difference there. It's a really great product. He sent me a case to try, and I was a little bit apprehensive. We'll talk about this all on the podcast, but it did not hit my heart rate variability. It was great to be able to enjoy a drink with friends without knowing that it was going to completely smash my athletic performance and my health goals. So we'll dive into all of that on the podcast today. It's super interesting, and I'm excited that he has released something to the biohacking world. As for things going on my end, before we jump in onto this podcast, I just want to let you guys know, pop on over to ConnieNightingale.com. I have a full list of amazing programs that I have written for people. If they don't want to do full coaching, they can jump in on something that is super affordable and gives you a plan. Because the biggest reason why people fail to reach their goals is they don't have a plan. Well, now I have it all mapped out so that you have a plan and you can follow it and you have guidance and it can help you get where you want to go rather than going to the gym and just grabbing whatever machine is open and going for it, or likewise for at-home workouts. So I have a lot of options there. I also have a little video that explains a little bit how my app works. It's really wonderful. So pop on over to ConnieNightingale.com to check that out. Anyhow, before I ramble on too much further, here is my podcast with Frank Yosa on R13 Hard Ketones. Hey, Frank, welcome back. It's been a little while since we chatted, but you've been up to some great things. And so we're going to talk about them because you're bringing some new and exciting things to the biohacking world.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. So
you're always coming up with something new that involves ketones, which is really cool. So a little bit of our history in case the listeners haven't listen to the previous podcast, I highly suggest you go back where we talked all about ketone esters and how they can be beneficial to anybody, not just people that are trying keto. They're heavily important as far as athletes go. They can be highly useful tool. You don't have to be a ketogenic athlete in order to get the benefits from it, which is a misconception about ketones. So you are the owner of Ketonade, which yep. is a company that has wonderful ketone esters, the real kind. Yeah, the real kind. Not, I mean, let's face it. There are tons of ketones. I'm quoting this out on the market, but a lot of them are not actually really the good stuff.
And yeah, ketone salts, most of them are ketone salts, and most of them are also racemic. So they might look like they're less expensive, but it's actually more expensive. It does nothing.
Yeah. And that's like the big, I mean, there's a couple MLM companies out there right now that are doing the ketone thing. And it just makes me scratch my head.
if I might actually defend them, their ketones are actually better than the other stuff that's on Amazon. So then someone, you know, I debated with someone and I said, would you rather buy a better product from a company you don't like the structure of, like MLM, or would you rather buy a worse product from a company you respect? And, you know, I'd rather have a better product. So
yeah,
the MLM company does have a non-racemic version. So that one is much better than most of the stuff that's on Amazon, but still it's light years different from the ester.
Right. And I feel like when keto got popular, all of a sudden they were putting ketones in everything. It was like, oh, you can have this because it's got ketones in it. And people, I'm like, listen, you're really not getting a benefit out of that.
And a big trick that a lot of these companies do is they put caffeine in it. And the ketones multiply the caffeine. So you think that you're feeling like this, you know, new energy. No, it's just caffeine. Go save some money and have 3 cups of coffee, which will destroy you in other ways.
I was just going to say, yeah. We all need that, I'm sure. I mean, I think half of my job is pulling people off of stimulants and helping them recover their health that way, because they Absolutely. Are in the
I'm
stimulant.
Caffeine, and all these doctors will say, oh, 1 cup's not a problem. It still is a drug, still messes you up, and whatever comes up must come down. If you can get off of caffeine completely for 30, 40 days, you'll be like, wow, I actually have more energy than the baseline that I've been, you know, I wake up in the morning at 80, my caffeine gets me to 95. If you actually can break that cycle for 30 days, you'll be like, you know, you'll see what the 100% is. And you'll be like, I don't need that stuff anymore. And if you need the ritual, great, go have decaf.
Yeah. Well,
one day we will have a coffee called skip it ketone coffee, where it's ketones instead of caffeine. So it's only decaf to help you withdraw from caffeine. So that'll be the next podcast in a year from now.
Oh, awesome. I love it. We could just have this yearly meeting. Well, and it's funny you bring all that up, because that's what I do. Is I'm a decaf drinker for the most part, because I love to have my little cup of coffee when I'm doing my podcasts or working with clients. But I don't want to just bombard my system with a bunch of caffeine, because back in the day when I was pounding tons of caffeine, I was probably in the worst shape of my life health wise, and it ended up leading to a cascade of other problems. So that was one of the very first things I ended up having to do, was go off of all caffeine. And I went off for a year solid. And let me tell you, initially it was like a month or more before I started getting my life back from it.
It's definitely, yeah, it can take a month. And some people think that caffeine is good for weight loss because they showed some clinical trials. Yeah, maybe in the short term, 30 days, you give someone speed, they're going to be better off. But it doesn't mean that, you know, in the long term, when it just messes up your adrenal glands, worse sleep, and over time, it just, you know, slowly wrecks you. So yeah, get off of caffeine and ketones. Some people have used ketones to help get off of caffeine, help with the caffeine withdrawals, actually. So that it does work for that 40-day period. You can use that to help transition. We had one lady who was upset. She said, oh, the ketone esters didn't work for me. And then we kind of had to brainstorm for half an hour to figure out why. Then I found out that she normally takes 4 to 6 cups of coffee a day. And this day she had skipped the coffee and just taken the ketone ester. And she's like, well, nothing happened. I'm like, well, what normally happens when you skip 4 to 6 cups cups of coffee? She's like, normally I'm fatigued. Normally I'm irritable, all these things. And you didn't feel any of those things. No, ma'am. Like, if that's not success, you got a tough crowd here.
Yeah.
If you want to feel it tomorrow, go add the caffeine to it, which isn't healthy, but at least you'll feel it. And then you can come back to, you know, taking it off. So yeah. For nurses and stuff, that and doctors that work 14-hour shifts and re-up every 3 hours, imagine getting off of that cycle and actually being able to have good deep sleep as opposed to just light sleep that's wrecked from all that caffeine.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, so you're up to new things. You've always got something brewing. We just heard a little bit about this upcoming coffee adventure, yeah. But so right now you have just released a ethanol-free alcohol that yeah. also has ketones in it. And yeah. it's actually a pretty exciting thing because so the thing about it is it's a super exciting thing because it doesn't hit your system the way a traditional alcohol would.
Yeah. Let me explain how it works. So initially the ketone ester is a combination of two molecules. It's beta hydroxybutyrate in the free acid form combined with 1,3-butanediol, which is technically an alcohol. Now, the ketone salts, for example, they'll use beta hydroxybutyrate and then they'll combine it with a base because it's an acid. They'll add a base to an acid to make it into a ketone salt. And so, but with this R13-butanediol, you can add that to the beta hydroxybutyrate and not need to have any salt, allowing you to be able to take 5, 10, 20 times more than the ketone salts because the ketone salts are limited by the massive salt load. I'm all for waking up and taking a couple salt pills, but this is like taking 20, 30 salt pills when you take a ketone salt packet. So with the R13, what happens is when the ketone ester enters the body, it actually goes into the bloodstream as a ketone ester. We didn't know that before. We thought it was into the gut and separated there, but it goes into the blood and then separates, and some of it might actually go to the brain intact. Well, when it separates, the BHB is directly available. So you can test your blood ketones and you can see that the D-beta hydroxybutyrate ketones are there. And then the R13-butanediol is like a slow release, so fast release and then slow release. The R13 goes through the liver and converts to beta hydroxybutyrate, the same molecule, at a rate of 70 to 80%. So C8 MCT oil, for example, also goes through the liver, but only 15% of it converts to beta hydroxybutyrate. And you can only take really tiny amounts of the C8 because you'll get disaster pants. That's why they call it the disaster pants. You take the tiniest amount too much and it'll set you over. Even my wife, the number two video that we have on YouTube is my wife. She took 10% more than she normally did, 4 or 5 years ago. And she was just, sitting down, all this pain because it feels like daggers, knives and stuff. So I asked the scientist, 5 years ago, well, why not just use R13-butanediol? Why add this expense that probably adds 4 to 10 times expense making this ester form? And the reason for why they couldn't just use R13 was the mice were stumbling. So the mice were drunk. And they discarded that, like, oh, that won't be good for humans because they were focused on health and disease and stuff like that. So they discarded that idea. But within a few weeks, I ran off and filed a patent and said, no, I think that has a huge opportunity. If used properly, we don't want humans stumbling, and the equivalent amount that they would have to take, to get these mice stumbling might be, 20, 40 cans of this stuff. So just ridiculous amounts. But so it's a new form of alcohol. So beer, vodka, wine is all ethanol based. And some people might say, oh, they have a healthier alcohol because they put in some probiotics or they put in less sugar, all the hard seltzers and stuff. It's just people are looking at the lowest carbohydrate and thinking that it's healthier. This is just a completely new classification. If I can actually jump in real fast, because I mentioned the seltzers, I figured out in my studying of all this that every single one of the light beers and the hard seltzers all lie by 20% on their calorie count. And they're allowed to. It's an actual FDA and TTB, the alcohol taxation unit. They wanted to encourage alcohol companies to add nutritional facts, but then some wine companies probably complained, saying, hey, it'd be too hard for us to know the exact calories. So can we get some leeway? And the government said, okay, we'll give you a 20% leeway. And in the actual ruling, it said, for example, a 100 calorie drink can be advertised as 80 calories, just flat out. The intention was for wine companies that didn't know what their calorie count was and give them some leeway. But the beer company said, sweet, ours is 115. We could sell a lot more if we call it 95 calorie Michelob Ultra. And that's it. And someone might say, oh, well, I don't know what the calories are in there, so I have to trust them. No, on the bottle, it says 4.2% alcohol. You can do the math based on 355 mLs, and it's like 14 or 15. You multiply by 6.97 calories per gram, and boom, 115 every single drink.
Well, so, and that's the other thing, right? So from a macronutrient standpoint, which is all the rage right now, everybody's counting macros. There's actually 7 calories per gram, not 4 or 9 or anything like that. It's 7 calories per gram. So it can't technically be counted as a carbohydrate, which would be right. 4 calories per gram, or a protein, which would be 4 calories per gram. It's actually 7 calories per gram. Yep. So a lot of people, when they get into the macro counting field and they start looking at the nutrition labels, if they're trying to stay in a certain carb range or a certain protein range or whatever, they're actually miscounting because of the way it should actually be counted.
Yep. And for what it's worth, this molecule, the R13-butanediol, is actually 6 calories per gram. So it is 13% lower on a per gram basis. Not that that really matters, but it's just an interesting tidbit that it came in a little bit lower. So the ethanol converts in the liver to acetaldehyde, and that's where all the toxins are. That's what gives you the hangover. That's what messes you up. But it also does other things, such as it makes people sometimes more sleepy. It makes them more hungry and makes them irritable. So, you know, the whole bar fights concept. But it also has a very addictive quality to it. So not only people that are addicted in the sense that they are classified as alcoholics, but just drinking one, or even someone who's not an alcoholic might drink only once, you know, a week or every few weeks, they drink one. There's just this need to drink 2, 3, 4, kind of like a Pringles. You take one or two Pringles and that, you know, that craving for more and more. But with ketones help kick the cravings of chips and fries and stuff like that. You just don't have this visceral urge to take more. So this molecule, R13-butanediol, goes to the liver. Instead of making acetaldehyde, it makes D-beta hydroxybutyrate. So your ketones skyrocket. So one can, you go up from like a 0 to 1.5 to 2 millimolar, depending on your weight. And then people always ask, the number one question is, well, will I feel a buzz? And usually what we hear is that one can feels like a Xanax relaxation state. So as opposed to this hyper aggressive ethanol state, feels like a Xanax. And then two, they feel a little bit of a buzz, tingling in the fingers. They feel 20% lighter, just lighter on their feet. And they just don't have this desire to crush another can and another can and another can. So eventually, once people fully figure this out, there's just going to be no reason to drink those White Claws and Michelob Ultras and stuff like that. And we are coming out with a raspberry lime seltzer version. We will be coming out with a beer version soon as well. So just be no reason to drink that ethanol stuff ever again.
So the funny thing is like when you're like, hey, Connie, have you tried our new stuff yet? I was like, no, I don't really drink, you know, yeah. And you were like, okay, well, I'm going to send you a case. I really want you to try it out. And I was like, I was worried, Frank. I was worried because I don't drink when I drink, typically I wear an Aura ring. I had other wearables prior to that. And the first thing you will notice if you are somebody that closely monitors your biofeedback is after even one drink, your heart rate variability takes a major hit for not just one day, but like three, sometimes even more, depending on the person. And to me, visually seeing that made me go, crap, if my body's working so hard to recover with this, I don't want to do it because that means I can't recover athletically. And I like to perform. I mean, that's like my number one thing in life. And alcohol is not valuable enough for me.
Right,
to sacrifice performance. And so I was like, oh crap, I don't know about this. And then my next thought was, I was like, oh my gosh, ketones can be a little bit rough when it comes to the taste. So I was like, ugh, if there's ketones in this, it may be scary, right? So we tapped into it at Christmas dinner. Cause I was like, okay, I usually have a drink on Christmas. I'm going to do this, you know? And I was like, wow, guys, this is so good. Next thing you know, we're all sharing at the table and they were like, wow, this is good. Everybody was super excited about it. And then the funny thing was, so the next day I was like, watch, we're just going to test this out. We're going to see how this is. I woke up in the morning and I was fully recovered. My Oura Ring said I had like an 89 recovery score, which is fantastic. And I was like, holy smokes, this thing did not, my body did not take a hit from this stuff. And so that was pretty exciting to me.
Yeah, we had some Oura Ring data where people send it in. They say, here's two glasses of wine and here's two of your cans of drinks. And one was 35 recovery and one was 85. Just massive, different, just different game. And I actually consider myself also a not drinker. I don't drink. Maybe every 3 or 4 months I'm on a beach and I want to get a, you know, a Corona Light. Sure, you know, I'll have one, but I haven't been able to drink. And then with this, I smuggled, you know, 12 down to Puerto Rico into Czech luggage. And I was able to, on the beach, casually, you know, drink one or two, and it was, you know, it just wouldn't wreck me. And it was really nice. So it's for people that don't drink. I'm not trying to get people back into drinking, but they don't drink because of how it destroys them.
Right.
And, you know, it actually gives them an opportunity to have something once a week, New Year's, you know, whatnot, and not feel, you know, just wrecked for days.
Well, and then that's something people don't realize. And so my clients, they've all learned this pretty well, but just one drink of regular ethanol alcohol, so wine, beer, all the things, just one drink of that is a priority to your system the minute it hits your system. Your liver stops processing pretty much everything else, and it's like, we got an emergency in aisle 13 and we've got to take care of it. And it prioritizes getting that all taken care of and filtered out. And it doesn't just last for a minute, it lasts for a couple of days. And so even a couple of drinks per week is placing a burden upon your body's systems, the way that they clean themselves, right? And that may not seem like, I mean, a big deal, but with how much other things we are exposed to these days, I mean, our body, if we think of it like a bucket, we are being exposed to things that our body has to clean and filter through constantly. So it's not just that one little thing that was a problem. It's a lot of the accumulation of other things. But then when you add that to it, it kind of becomes a little bit too much for most people's systems. And so like with my clients, they've all like at one point or another were people that like to have the evening glass of wine and things like that. And they started noticing the minute that they removed that, even if it was a multiple time of week thing, like their menstrual cycles got better, their acne went away, their digestion got better, their hormones got better on lab work, like all these things heavily improved just by removing that occasional one to two a time drink per week.
Yeah. And let alone if you're ketogenic. So if you're already ketogenic, drinking anything will kick you out of ketosis, and people try to drink the, you know, the best of the worst, the lowest carb, and just, you know, the healthier of the crap that's out there. But this actually, you know, raises your blood ketones, but it's not real ketosis because it's not burning. It doesn't make you burn fat per se, but mm-hmm. It keeps your ketones up. And some people actually use it to skip their meals. So you can use it to skip dinner. So I was actually wondering, if you ate it during the dinner, did you notice any appetite suppression during the meal, or you're just still?
Oh, I probably had appetite suppression anyways, because I ate a lot of food. That's one way to do it, right? Just eat a ton of food and then you're not hungry.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So no, I can't say that I was able to notice that, because I had my drinks with my meal as we sat and chatted and enjoyed each other's company.
Did you feel anything from like a buzz standpoint? Because usually you need an empty stomach, and you might need a full one for a female and two for a male.
Well, so for me, it's a little bit of a different story, because I take naltrexone to combat my autoimmune disease. So that's one place where I can't really be, like when you were asking me, I just cannot be honest about it, because I don't know. I have a hard time getting any kind of buzz or high off of anything, basically.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I might feel a little bit relaxed, and I did, of course. But it doesn't ever go beyond that one for alcohol with me anyways.
Good. Well, that's really the goal right there, is, you know, relaxing. That's why people want to unwind after work, to relax. I don't think people actually maybe some try to do the buzz, but we had this one nurse who was a biohacker, and she would do ice baths 2 to 3 times a week, because she would notice it in her face and her body. And she was drinking, initially she said 2 glasses of wine, but then when we kept on talking, that two glasses of wine turns out that they were very large glasses of wine. So it was one bottle every single day. So it was a biohacker and a nurse. So she knew that it was destroying her, but she was, you know, it was her only vice. And she switched over to the R13 and was able to go to two cans per day and had me overnight her 10 of them. She's like, you know, I need it for the next 5 days until the order of 50 come in, and to be able to swap out. And she said she woke up the next day feeling as if she had taken the ice bath. So just the less inflammation in the body, just a drastic difference. And just doing that every single day, I mean, ideally she weans off of it completely, but that might help her wean off of even this drink and just having it once a week. But to go from one bottle of wine, you know, a day to two cans of this, and eventually, you know, two cans a week, is huge. It's going to surpass all of her ice baths that she does and all the workouts that she does and all these things to be healthy. Cause that vice is, you know, pretty horrible.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's one thing that I liked about this though. Right. So, I mean, we all need to be able to enjoy things within moderation, and it's kind of a hard place for a lot of people because they get this mentality like, well, I can never have this again then if I want to be healthy. Right. And so I love the fact that there are compromises that can be made with anything. Right. But now we're getting to where there's a compromise that can be made with alcohol. You can still enjoy it. But now here's the next hard part. How are we going to get this if we're out at a bar or something like that? You're going to have to get your stuff out there, man.
Yeah. That's why we're on the podcast. It'll take a little while for bars to figure it out and get the production up so that, you know, it'll be mainstream. But you know, that's the goal, that people will forget about all those hard seltzers out there and all gravitate to something like this. But yeah, it'll take a while. It'll take a few years before it's, you know, just readily available at your nearby bar.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just want to reiterate too, that the taste is actually great. I really, really liked the taste. I was pretty excited about that because I was, like I said, I was worried about the ketone part.
Our ketone ester is 50% active. So most of the problem was dilution ratio. Mm-hmm. So this is 50% active. With the R13, it's only 3 or 4% alcohol. So you have a whole bunch of water and flavoring that you could, you know, put in to mask the flavor. And we used monk fruit and stevia. We actually just recently lowered the stevia by 70%, might get rid of it completely, might go all the monk fruit. And the goal is to make it as non-sweet as possible, enough to cover up the bitter aftertaste and the lingering aftertaste from the R13 butanediol, also known as BDO. It's another phrase for it is BDO. So our goal is to make it as lightly sweetened as possible, not this, you know, diet cola, sucralose, overload. You know, we're trying to make it like a flavored carbonated water, like a LaCroix.
Right. I love it. Well, and I know that you know me because you're like, hey, there's no sucralose in this. It's stevia and monk fruit. You're safe.
Yeah, I actually just got an email. I was buying some starting material for our other drink called Snake Water that we're coming out with. And they wanted to put in a sucralose blend into it. And thank God I caught it at the last second. I was like, no, what do you, no, I don't want any sucralose in there. But that's a pretty commonplace nowadays in drinks to make them taste like sugar, because it really does.
Yeah. So I have a question for you then. Will this show up on a breathalyzer test?
So it will not. Breathalyzer tests are designed for ethanol. But you know, keep in mind that there are other substances that people can take, you know, cannabis and stuff like that. That also doesn't show up on a breathalyzer. So it doesn't mean that you're just, you know, off scot-free and can do whatever you want. You still have to be, you know, responsible. And we do put on the can that it's for 21 and over and not to drive if intoxicated.
Right. Yeah. So that was going to be the thing, right? Just because it doesn't show up on a breathalyzer, you cannot drive on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. So any other like special things about this?
So for working out. So one of the questions was, oh, can I use this pre-workout because it raises ketones up so high. And by the way, it is on a cost per gram basis, it's like 50 or 60% less lower cost than the ketone ester. So it'll raise your ketones much higher. But a few things, we found that when we first tested it on people, they didn't know that it was not for workout. So you know, they saw that all of our drinks were performance based, so they got it and they took it pre-workout, and their feedback was, Frank, I don't think you have a winner here. I was on the treadmill or I was in the gym and I saw this couch and all I could think about is I'd rather be hanging out on that couch. And then I explained to them, no, it's for hanging out on the couch. It's for relaxing after you've exerted yourself. And they go, oh, that makes sense. So it has this anti-anxiety demotivating effect that I don't think will work for performance. As far as mental, everyone focuses on blood ketone numbers. And let's talk about that real fast. So there's a way to test whether ketones are in your system, and that's by testing your blood. But they don't really do anything in your blood. They don't make your blood more red, more thin, or viscous. It doesn't do anything in your blood. It's when it leaves your blood and it goes to the brain. So people might say, oh, well, the peak is at 45 minutes and then it starts going down, so it's short-lived. No, the ketones will be in your system for 4 or 5 hours, but out of your blood pretty quickly. But what we found with this is that the 1,3-butanediol will go to the brain and be metabolized by the brain, but it doesn't have the same effect. Even though the blood ketones might be at the same number, the feedback has been that it doesn't have the same effect as far as mental clarity, being, you know, alert. Well, some people have taken the R13 at a party and felt like their eyes opened up and they were, you know, more attentive, but it's just a little bit different than the ester. So I wouldn't use this for, you know, exams or anything like that, but it could be used or during a workout or pre-workout, unless you're running a marathon and you normally take a shot of tequila, I guess if that works for you, yeah, this would be better. But you know, post-workout or post-race day celebration, that'd be a great way to use it. Cause you're, you know, these Tour de France people, they drink, oh, it's just a glass of wine and they have a few beers during their 15, 17 day event because they need to relax on wine. No, the ethanol is just destroying them. By taking this instead, yeah, your ketones are going to skyrocket. And I do believe that those ketones will help with recovery. So it could work for a post-workout, post-race celebration. And we hope to sponsor some of those events as well, but not so much, you know, pre-workout. And some people have taken it later at night and they found that their sleep scores improved. And that is from also the ketones going up. A lot of people will take the ketone ester for sleep. We haven't had anyone try to like crack open the drink right before going to bed to this 12 ounces. So it's not really, you know, conducive to chugging something right before going to bed. Mm-hmm. But people that have taken it at night, they found that they woke up with, you know, better sleep, let alone better than a regular night without ethanol, and just exponentially better than any night that you have ethanol.
Yeah. And I think that's the same too, also with your guys's ketone ester. If you take that before bed, I feel like recovery and everything improves heavily. And I think I sleep better on it, honestly.
Yeah. The key with how much you take. If I have a super important meeting the next day and I'm like, oh, I'm going to take more ketones because more is better, it'll destroy my sleep. So it'll give me a more shallow sleep. So it doesn't help with that. But if you take the right amount, and for me, it can be anywhere, if I'm already keto, anywhere from half of a capful to one capful is all I need. But a Tour de France rider that is doing 5 hours on a bike, they will take the entire bottle. They'll take 50 mls, 60 mls before bed, which a regular person doing that, it's just going to not be good. It's going to make them, you know, really, really wired. So you really have to hone in on how much. Also with the R13, we have found, initially, we told people not to mix it with ethanol because there was one report of someone who drank it with ethanol and they just, you know, their face just planted into their plate. They were just like super tired. Now, it could have been many other things. Could have been that they were fasting all day, blood glucose crash or something else. So initially, we said not to mix it. But we have had more reports of people mixing it, not mixing it together in one drink, but using it to have fewer beers. So this one former rock star normally goes on, meets his friends, goes on a bender every 3 or 4 months, and he'll have 3 or 4 bottles of wine per night. And here he mixed it. He took 2 or 3 of the R13 throughout. And before you know it, he was only taking half of a bottle or one bottle. So much, much less, and waking up more recovered. So we're still playing around with that dynamic of, you know, having it with alcohol, with ethanol. But I I'm a little bit biased, but I would think, let's see if we can figure out a way just to remove the ethanol completely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that at Christmas dinner, when I was sharing with everyone, there was a lot of people mixing regular alcohol with that, and everybody was fine. There was no face planting going on. So
hopefully no one had COVID, because if they all took a sip from the same can, it'd be almost guaranteed.
Yeah. We all survived sharing. You can still share these days. The way I see it, we're all family. We all spend a lot of time together. If we're going to get sick, we're going to get sick, right? So might as well share all of our germs and just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I mean, I love what you're doing. I love that you're coming up with healthier alternatives. That's an amazing thing, because we need more of those out there. We need more compromises that we can make. So this stuff is officially out on the market, correct?
Yeah, we're selling it on the ketoneaid.com website. We made two separate companies. So hardketones.com will separate and be its own website shortly, but right now it's all being sold under the same Shopify, under ketoneaid.com. And like I said, we're gonna come out with, instead of switching out the flavors, because I don't think people care that much about flavor, switching out the genre of it, so having a super low carb beer next, and then maybe a gin-ish type tonic, and taking it from there.
Awesome. Well, I love that. And so hopefully people will go over and find that. Did I miss anything that we needed to cover today as far as this goes?
I think you got it. You got it. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm super excited that you talked with me about this today, because like I said, I when I saw something where I could be around friends and family, have a drink, be relaxed, not have it affect my athletic performance, I was really excited.
Yeah, I get that a lot. I don't drink. And I said, great, you don't drink ethanol. This isn't ethanol.
Absolutely. And I'm super actually excited to test it out on a couple of my clients too, because they all love to be guinea pigs. And so I think that it's going to be a great thing.
Great. Especially for January, if this gets published in January, for that dry January, people that might not have been successful in their attempts, try this.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, thanks again for joining me, Frank. And hopefully people will stop on over, check out our previous podcast where we talked about his regular ketone ester, because that's a really great podcast as to how that can improve you in all aspects of athletic performance. You don't have to just be a ketogenic athlete. So if not, visit him over at Ketone Aid. There's a ton of information and it's a great product.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Frank. Well, thanks for tuning in. For further information about me and my programs, as well as free recipes and other health tips, please visit www.ConnieNightingale.com or find me on Instagram at ConnieBegani. I want to remind you that any opinions or views expressed in this podcast are their own and that they are not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any illness or condition. This show is not intended to replace your regular health care. Please consult with your current primary care provider before changing any of your diet, exercise, or medical protocols. Thanks so much for tuning in. See you next time.